Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello and welcome, good people. Welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. I am show today because I'm actually doing a 30-minute show. And I feel so blessed because I have Dr. Javon James with me, who is an inspirational speaker, radio host. She has her own radio called Everyday Peace on Unity Radio, and she's an author of Freedom is Your Birthright. She is the founder of Everyday Peace, a platform for her to help and inspire others to build the life of their dreams. Using her successful pharmacist skills, she brings light into other lives by sharing her everyday peace message. And so I just want to say thank you, Dr. Javon James, for coming on to my show.
Oh, Erica, I'm so delighted to be here. And Drayvon is fine. You can drop
okay,
off.
Dr. Javon. Okay, wonderful. No, Dr. Javon, because you earned it.
Okay.
Okay, so you know what? I love to hear people's stories and how they kind of got to where they are. And so I'm just going to start with, tell me about your story.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I'm so glad that you asked, Erica, because I love to tell my story because I'm just an everyday girl. And I feel that if I can inspire someone else to really live in their truth with my everyday ordinary story, it could, you know, I'm happy to do that. So I'll start at the very beginning. I am originally from the South Side of Chicago, born to a family of low financial means and you know, had a challenging childhood, you know, a few stints in homelessness, and that progressed into college. But I had a mom that really believed that we could do anything that we have set our hearts and desires on. And I got to tell this story because young listeners who I remember, you know, through those very difficult times, and my mom would take us to church on Saturday because we went to a New Thought church, right, on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, we went to a holiness church. And if you know anything about holiness people, we were in church all day on Sunday. And I just was so through and over with that. I just felt like, oh my gosh. But it was no change in her mind. That's what we did on Saturdays, and we went to this other church on Sundays. And the interesting thing about this story is that, and if you know anything about the holiness tradition, it's very rigid and very legalistic, and I have a lot of my heart and soul there, so there's no judgment in that. But my mom was forward thinking, so we went to this New Thought church and, you know, studying New Thought. And she never wanted the people from New Thought to know about the Holiness Church on Sunday. And she never wanted people from the Holiness Church to know about the New Thought Church on Saturday. And at coming up, I always thought that was so strange because I could hear such similarities in the message. But my mom thought, well, they would never understand, you know, this thing about energy and all. They would just never understand this thing about the Holy Ghost. And so we would just never talk about the two. But it did such an amazing thing for me because it gave me an understanding that I call peace. My journey went on and it was still difficult, but I had these seeds of life growing inside of me that I now call peace because of my mom's insistence upon two of those things. So I like for people to hear that because every part of our journey is useful if we want it to be. Every part of it is useful. So, you know, look at it, become aware of it, but know that even those things that are annoying, those things that are painful, you can use that too. You're going to learn how to use that too. So that's part of my journey. So at 17, I had gotten accepted into pharmacy school, and my brother, who's younger than me, 13 months younger, gave me a book, a tiny little book. I am in love with tiny books probably for this reason. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. I read that book, and I knew that whatever had just transformed in me, I wanted to do for other people. That's what I wanted to do. I'd never heard a motivational speaker in my life, but I knew at that point that, yes, I wanted to help people, and no, it wasn't pharmacy, but I had already committed to pharmacy school. But, you know, I knew, and I was okay with that because I knew I could help people through that method, but I wanted to help something on a deeper level. I didn't have a word for it back then. So I went on and I still practice. I've been practicing pharmacist for 30 years. Can't believe that. But I had a lot of, my passion really is in helping people to understand that they are more than their circumstances, but that their circumstances are so important to the journey that they're going to be preparing for. So in as much as you're working your way, working our way to an understanding to try to improve our life, right? Don't be so down and bitter on the things that are happening. They hurt. I know. I've been through it. You know, I tell you my story. I don't think there's any part of the life journey that I haven't had areas for growth and development, AKA pain, right? I had a tumultuous marriage, very, very heartbreaking things happening there. I had lost a baby, lost several babies, but one, you know, through miscarriage, and then one was born and passed away. And then, but overcame those pain. It's real pain. That's real pain. I say that because
it is.
Not for people to feel sorry for me, but to know that we are in this together. Because somewhere there's a family right now going through that stuff, and they're wondering to themselves, why? What can I do with all of this pain? Right? We're going to use that. We're going to use that for self-growth and development. We're going to learn how to use it to help other people too. Because if our health is perfect, we know, right?
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that because I think that it's through those adversities, it's through the pain that when you pick yourself up and brush yourself off, you realize just how powerful you are.
Oh, right? You would never know if you were always on the mountaintop. You would kind of feel like, wow, you'd have those days, believe me, you'd still have those days of self-doubt. And you say to yourself, I don't know if this is authentic. I don't know if I belong here. But when you, and even still, when you do go through the trenches, some days you have those days, but you know, you can look and say, you know what? In my awareness, in my consciousness, I know we've done something similar to this before. We've overcome something like this before. No, I don't want to be doing it again, but I know I can do it again because I have proof positive that I can overcome. Right?
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, if you learn the lesson in the pain, if you learn the lesson in the suffering, if you learn the lesson in the moment of your pain, then you don't have to repeat it again. You know, it's when you don't learn the lesson that you end up repeating those same mistakes or those same patterns of relations. And so,
and I love that, Erica, because I think I spent a large part of my, you know, that's a New Age thought message that I always had coming up. Learn these lessons so you don't have to repeat these lessons. And I would say to myself, oftentimes I'd be in the middle, you know, lost a job or this or that happened to me. And, or, you know, didn't get this opportunity. I'm also an actress. So, you know, you don't get this role. You travel all the way out here. I'm like, what is this lesson? And I realized for me, and perhaps it may be for everybody, is to do everything in love, right? It's this whole thing is about learning how to stay in this state of awareness, right? This state of love, genuine self-love, which radiates to the world, right? When you love yourself genuinely, you know, and so many people do not have a love affair with themselves. And they're wondering why the world doesn't have a love affair with them. It starts internally. So can you love yourself through the failed marriage? Can you love yourself through the miscarriages and the family issues? Can you love yourself and be okay with you through the bad reports at the doctor's office and the layoffs and, you know, we got coronavirus? Can you still love yourself? Can you be in love with you? Not ego love, not that kind of love that demands you to have an output to be worthy, but just you because you exist.
I love that, because I always say I've been practicing in the field of psychology for 32 years, and the one common thing between all my patients, including myself, is this idea that we're not worthy. That's the one thing that ties everybody together. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care what culture you're from or what race you believe yourself to be. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Everyone has this underlying belief of unworthiness. And that was my mission. I want everyone to know that if you are breathing, like Snoop Dogg says, if you're breathing, you are achieving. And you are worthy and valuable. And so I love that.
Gosh, I just fell in love with you with that. And I can feel that all over me, because that is really the message, right? Because so many people, I know I was talking to a friend who is a life coach. She's an amazing person. And she said to me one day, she said, Raymond, I have like imposter syndrome. I had never heard the term before. And it was just that she felt like.
Say it again. Because I think I missed it.
She said she had imposter syndrome.
Oh, like, imposter syndrome.
She said, you know, she didn't believe that she was worthy of the success that she had, and you know, that she was flawed. I'm like, that plagues everybody. Everybody feels like I'm not worthy. And when we feel like we are not worthy, we do some of our most damage to ourselves and to other people. That fear drives, and oh, we're in and out of that state all of the time. And so the faster we recognize it. It's so funny. I was on another show a couple months ago, and the lady said to me, it's an interviewer. She said, well, I would love to be like you. You know, she said, just to know all of the time. I said, there is nobody who knows all of the time. We're all human. And so we have the whole rainbow of emotions. And some days you feel like you're on top of the world. And some days it feels like the world is on top of you, and you get into the space of self-doubt. Right. But
yes,
practice. And this is the important thing, I think, for the listeners to know, with practice, when you practice self-love and you practice self-affirmation and you practice really positive self-talk, you'll realize, oh my gosh, that was a self-defeating thought. That's a self-defeating conversation that I'm having. Let me switch gears without shame and condemnation. Let's just switch gears. Let's make a new decision in this moment right now. And let's not beat ourselves up. The last decision, it's gone. We're in consciousness now. We're aware. We can do something different in this moment.
Absolutely. And you know, on that note, I always say mental health really needs to be called human health.
Yes.
Because everyone, I don't care who you are, I don't care what stage of development you're in, everyone experiences at some level depression, anxiety, guilt, stress, trauma, whatever. I mean, it is a human experience that we're all going to experience at some point in life. And it's really the severity of it, the frequency of it, and how it interferes with your functioning that lets you know, hey, I need to get some help because I can't do this alone.
And that's one of my favorite words is help. That's what we're here for, right? And you hear people a lot say, you know what, I don't need help for this. And I am of the mindset that it takes a village to do everything. And why shouldn't it? That's why there are so many people here, right? We're here to one another, each other, right?
Exactly.
Share the load, you know, even if it's just somebody to talk with, to hear you out, a second set of ears to say, you know, maybe there's another way to look at this. Say, oh yeah, there is another way to look at it.
I love it. Okay. You know what? I'm going to pause because we got to take a commercial break, and then we'll be right back with Dr. Javon. I love it. Thank you.
Have you heard of the tremendous results of CBD oil that has really changed the lives of many? Hi there, I'm Jules Johnson, and I've got to tell you about this amazing CBD oil that Dr. Erica is bringing to the forefront. Oh, I'm so excited about this. Well, CBD oil is now legal in all 50 states with no prescription required. Dr. Erica Montgomery, a licensed psychologist for over 23 years, has many of her clients taking this exceptional quality of CBD oil, which has improved their feelings and emotions with daily stress, insomnia, anxiety, depression, and oh my goodness, so many other symptoms. Well, the question is, why suffer? HempHappier.com can change your life. It did for me. Remember, CBD oil does not have any THC in it. And this means that you won't get high from it. And yet, you get the life-changing properties that come directly from Mother Nature. It will improve the quality of your life dramatically. I promise. Go to HempHappier.com and pick the dosage that you need. That's HempHappier.com.
Hello and welcome to part two. I am back with Dr. Javon and we are just having a wonderful conversation. And so I'm just going to let her finish kind of telling her story and also tell us a little bit about her book, Freedom is Your Birthright. I love that.
Oh, yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I was up to the point, I think I told you guys about me going into pharmacy school. My brother had given me that book. He gave me the book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. If you haven't read the book, I highly encourage you to do so. That's a tiny little book. And when I wrote my first book, Freedom is Your Birthright, I knew I wanted it to be a tiny book because I felt like I wanted people to be positively impacted and I wanted them to be able to fit it into their already very busy lifestyles. You know, we are doing so much, but, and I love how you said, you know, mental health should be human health. These kind of books, this book, I wanted to be an everybody book. On any level, you could pick it up very simply, very plain. It has a little exercise in it. Jog your memory about things that you already know. Because what I knew about myself when I set out on this journey of peace at the age of 17 is that I was in for the ride of my life. I knew from reading that book that there would be nothing that I desired that was a passion of mine that I would not accomplish. I never thought, you know, all that, you're 17, right? And so, you know, I never thought it would be as challenging as it has been. You know, at 17, I thought, well, I'll just say it and the world will just bow down. There'll be no problems. I think I talk about that in the book. I was the kind of person who really worked really hard to live a good life. You know, I wanted to do the right thing so I wouldn't have to deal with problems. The long story short is that, just like everybody else, my life progressed from one challenge to another. I had growth and development. So I went on. I've been practicing pharmacy for 30 years, but something happened in my life around the year 2015. I was always reading and studying and writing about peace and doing little talks here and there, but it wasn't on a professional level because I was practicing pharmacy. But in 2015, my life as I knew it changed. I've always divided life up into what I call the big three. The big three, these three categories, health, wealth, and relationship. So I figured all of my desires in life, health related, wealth related, or relationship related. Well, in 2015, all three of my areas had a major, I won't say collapse, but it felt like a collapse. At that point, I had been married for 20 years and I had major issues in my marriage that you would thought after 20 years, who has these kind of issues, but they were major. And I lost my job. They lost the department funding. So all in that, then I got diagnosed with autoimmune disease. So all in that same year.
That's a lot of stress and change in 1 year.
Yeah. Can you imagine? And I can remember I would journal. I was doing all the little practices that I talked to people about and I was holding it together. It was very, very painful. I don't want to undersell it. But I remember one day journaling and just going through my process of peace. And it occurred to me that out there, there was somebody else having tremendous pain in their life. And if I could share what I was using to help my life progress, you know, I was still in a lot of emotional pain. There's, you know, I was dealing with it. But there were days when I just felt like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm trying to face this again. I thought to myself, but I have these practices that are helping me face it again. You know, I'd go through my awareness, my self-talk, really looking at the truth, separating these things out. And I thought, if I can help people to realize that freedom, we are all free to say what each event means in our life. Mm. We give it the power, right? We give the event the power. The event in and of itself is just an event. We attach everything to it. So I said, okay, my marriage is failing after 20 years. How could I be so stupid? Slow down. There's another way to look at that, right? So I had to change how I was telling myself this story. And I wanted to be able to help other people do that in their lives. To say, oh, you lost your job. Doesn't mean anything about you not being worthy or you not being good enough. That's not what this is about. This is about, really, if you choose to, this is about learning a new way to do something, finding something that's more fulfilling, right? And changing the perspective. Everything became, this is a cavalier term, but there's an author that I love, and I can't think of her name right now, but she wrote a book, The Game of Life. Gosh, I'm surprised I can't remember her name because I've read her book maybe 20 years. Mm-hmm.
The Game of Life and How to Play It.
How to Play It, yes.
Yes.
Lauren Scopel's show.
Yes.
So I thought of that. You know, this is the way I'm going to, this is, you know, like Monopoly. This is the piece that I've landed on, right? It's nothing personal, Drayvon, right? So looking at it that way helped me to progress my life along and really use my everyday peace principles. And I wanted to do that for people in my book, Freedom is Your Birthright. First thing, you gotta realize that you are free to name and give this event all of the power that it has. It's painful. It doesn't have to be the end of you. It can be painful and it can be the step that catapults you to your next level of greatness, right?
Or it can be, love it.
And it can be the thing that keeps you in the bed for, you know, and just say, you know, I can't move on. Because in 1 year, can you even imagine your health, your wealth, and your relationship? In 1 year, I was like, what? What else?
Yeah, can't get no worse than that. That, yeah. I mean, that can break you. But like you said, you chose the different perspective. Because when I deal with people with anxiety, they always choose the worst case scenario. And I always say, if you can choose the worst case scenario, then why can't you choose the best case scenario? They're both probabilities.
Yes, yes.
Oh, of the same weight.
Of the same weight. But you know what I found with myself and that is that there is something sadistically comforting when you are already in pain. That has, it's like rubbing a sore spot on your nail bed. Like if you pull that skin in, it's sore and people just keep rubbing it. There's, that says to you, if I focus on the pain long enough, it will some kind of way give me the answer on how not to be in pain. So we know that's a direct opposite of universal law. Universal law,
yes.
If you focus on, you bring more of that into your life, right? But the ego can't grasp that concept. So we need discipline and we need people like yourself, people like me who are constantly reminding people, okay, let's shift our focus. I understand that's what's showing up in your physical world, but let's shift our focus a little bit. And what we focus on, we will begin to draw that energy into our life. So let's look, we got it. This is the worst case scenario. Now let's flip over to some other perspectives. So that's what I've tried to do with my book, what I try to do with my practice, with my organization, Everyday Peace, is to really help people to realize that peace, as we define it, wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality, is available at every stage of our journey, no matter what's going on.
Yeah. There's two things that I love in the book. The one is you talk about the lies. You say, don't believe the lies. And I'm always telling people that we operate out of this program that we've learned since we were born. And it's all lies. It's not even the truth. We have to find our own truth. And then you talk about forgiveness. Because I think in every step of the way, when we're dealing with different things, it's easy to get down on ourselves. But I think forgiving ourselves is more important than forgiving someone else.
Oh my gosh, it's a whole key, right? This whole journey, this love-based journey that we have is that we've got to be able to forgive ourselves. And there was a phrase I used to hear all the time as a kid, when you know better, you do better. And that always stuck with me, right? And it's so when you realize that when you know better, you do better, it's easier to forgive yourself because just because you heard something doesn't mean you know it, right?
That's right.
heard it over and over again. You know it when it lands on that spot inside of you and you realize, hey, this is just it. And I tell people the difference between believing something and knowing something is an ocean. It's different. If I was to say to you, do you believe your name is Erica? Do you know your name is Erica? You're like, yeah, I know my name is Erica. Okay. Now
we're certain.
Right. So when you know better, you do better. And forgiving of yourself, get in that space of what you did, you did. And if you would have known better, really known better, not just heard better, you would maybe chose a different course of action.
That is so true. I always say that when people start beating up on themselves, I always say, you have to remember, you did the best you could with what you had at that point in time. That was a point in time in your life. And so you can't, how could your person of today judge the person of yesterday? You're a completely different person. That's not fair. You know, you did the best, just like today, if something would happen, you would do the best you could with what you knew and what you had and what resources were available to you today.
Yeah. And that is so, if we could get that message out to people, I think they would feel so much better about everything because I lead a team of people and they always say, do your absolute best. Well, your absolute best is a moving target. There are so many variables that go into your absolute best. When's the last time you ate? When's the last time, how much sleep did you get last night? When's the last time you taken care of bathroom needs and all this kind of stuff? Your absolute best at 12 o'clock in the afternoon may differ from your absolute best at 12 a.m. in the morning, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So talk about the daily self-care rituals, because I'm always talking about that. I'm like, you got to fall in love. My girlfriend says, you got to fall in love with taking care of yourself. And that's a daily thing.
It is a daily
thing. Talk about that, Dr. Javon.
I want to tell you the first thing, and this is so simplistic, the first thing that I do every morning, the first person I hug is me. I'm still in the bed and I embrace myself, both hands, and thank myself for showing up today. This is not always easy. You know, sometimes I gotta tell you, I'm just like everybody else. You wake up and all the stuff from yesterday goes plop right back in your memories. You know, saying I'm still here. But I hug myself first every morning to let Drayvon know that I thank you. I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love. So that you need to hear that. Everyone needs to hear that. You need to say that to yourself first so you can project that to the world and you can draw that energy to you. Second, that's my first step, is that self-love. And it is actually the gift of touch, actually hugging my shoulders, reminding myself that, hey, we're in this together and I'm so grateful for this physical frame, for this body, right? Absolutely thankful to be living in this body and it is still moving and doing what it needs to do. And then I do what I call active gratitude every morning, and I keep it simple so that it is sustainable. The first three things that pop into my head, I keep index cards in my nightstand. I take out an index card and I write 1, 2, 3, the date and act of gratitude. And I write down the first thing, whatever it is. And it sometimes is not even great positive stuff, but I get grateful. One that, you know, I'm participating in life. Today I wrote on my thing, I had a meeting. Not really excited about going to this meeting, but it popped in my head because I probably was worried about it. And I wrote down that I am so grateful for the opportunity to get into a dialogue where I'm going to learn and hopefully be able to teach. You know, it's about pharmacy and it's long. So I write down whatever it is, but I'm actively grateful for it. And actively grateful to me looks like this, that as I'm preparing for the morning, those are the three things that are on my mind. And I start moving the energy and affirming them from the soles of my feet to the crown of my head until I am totally like tingling almost with it. Just affirming it with a big smile on my face. I get full body involvement. I am actively grateful for this. I start to feel, how would it feel if everything in this area went great for me? And I change the energy around it. And I carry that card around with me. It doesn't just stay home. This is... When I get to my office, I tape it in front of me at my office. When I go to a meeting, I pick it up, put it in my notebook, whatever I'm taking with me. So then when I get stressed, I open up. I'm like, oh, yeah. Your emotions have memory. Right? So I'm resonating at that level. constantly resonating at that level, it absolutely helps. And then I practice forgiveness. For when I get angry at myself, this constant all day long, I can go through my list of things that I have to forgive myself about all day long, but it helps me to be forgiving of other people too.
Yeah.
And really quickly, before I go to bed, before I go to bed at night, as you're getting ready to drift off, I replay the dream, my day, but I don't replay it like, oh, this went wrong, this went wrong. I replay it as though I am the person who has the eraser to change everything the way I wanted it to go. Then I go to sleep.
Really? Wait, tell me a little bit about that. I like that concept.
So when I, so let's suppose like today I had like a little, not words, but you know, it's a little tension with someone and at work. And so I would replay that elevator scene to me walking into the elevator with a big smile on my face. Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. And them saying to me at the end of the day, Drayvon, you know, I love your commitment to the team. We're so glad you're here. See you tomorrow. That's it. I just change, tweak it a little bit and I go to sleep. And I change the story for myself. Because I want to go to sleep being the person that I desired to be when I got up that morning at 4:30 or 5 o'clock that morning, right? So I change it so I can sleep on that and marinate on that. That's what I'm focusing on. I'm practicing self-growth and development. I forgive myself for everything and I can wake up in a better place and realize, oh, well, next time, find your smile a little faster. Even, you know, because I'm one anothering with other people too. So even though I may be in a space where I'm not 100% satisfied with the outcome of things, a smile doesn't cost me anything.
And you got a beautiful smile too.
Oh, you
wow. Great. You know what? I hate to let you go, but you know, our time is up and I just have to say thank you so much. I so appreciate your just positive energy and I'm so looking forward to having you back on my show. And oh, I just want to say to my listeners, you know, Dr. Drayvon James, I mean, she's the real deal. And her book, you know, she has her own show, Everyday Peace on Unity Radio. In her book, Freedom is Your Birthright, I love it. I do think everybody should carry it in their pocket. Because if you need inspiration, if you need a reality check, if you need to remind what your daily practices are, it's all there. You know, so just thank you so much for coming on and talking with me and sharing your words of wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Erica.
Okay, you take care.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.